B-Pod Studios.
Goals for myself, and you know, I just have a genuine love for the game and just wanted to be back to this point playing at the highest level. You know, stats go out the window, everything else in terms of what has happened, transpired throughout the regular season goes out the window, and it's just like everything is just about true essence of basketball. Nothing else about the drama or extracurricular stuff, and just excited to be to focus on the game and just actually talk about basketball instead of sensationalism. So, you know, just happy about that.
Hour number three, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you and driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. Catch them at the BernardiAutoGroup.com. I also still have a giveaway for you. I got a $100 gift card for the Under Armour brand house that I forgot to give away last hour. So I'm leaving you hanging on that. I'll give it away at the end of the segment. You want to stick around and win a $100 gifty? By all means, stick around. Meanwhile, joining us in our Town Fair Tire Studios, Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe. We are now entering the true essence of basketball, Chris.
I thought you might like that one, Felgie.
Oh,
like
my
that?
God. True essence. This guy.
You smell it. Essence.
Yeah, true essence of basketball time. But the other part was, too, when he's like, you know, that makes me happy. How happy did he sound when he said happy?
Oh, no, right, exactly.
I love him. He's my favorite player. He really is.
Without all the extracurriculars, and I can't remember everything that he said, and all the nonsense and the hoopla and everything, and now it's just the essence of basketball. Never mind that he created all the hoopla with his mouth.
Well, he did own that. He did. I mean, he did say
he did.
Know,
this is true.
All the BS, and he's, you know, and he said, I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about me. He said it could have been handled more professionally. So you got to give him credit for that.
So my take yesterday, and we brought it up a little bit today, is I think Kyrie's put a lot on himself because, you know, he spent the whole second half of the year saying seeding doesn't matter, regular season doesn't matter. I can't wait to get to the playoffs. That's why I'm here. That's when the, you know, the true talent rises, and that's what all that matters. I'm sick of talking about getting better here every day. That's not what matters. Seeding doesn't matter. You know, and again, they asked him in Chicago, Kyrie, why are you so confident? You don't think it's going to carry over to the playoffs? And he says, no, I don't. And they say, why? And he says, because of me.
Yeah, because we have me.
And so now here we are. And if he wins on the road and he advances and the Celts advance and they go where they were supposed to go, I think all this nonsense from the regular season kind of washes away. I mean, to me, it does, because I, frankly, all I care about is what they do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's last thing you see, right? So, I mean, certainly I think they have an opportunity in most people's minds to erase what was a massively disappointing regular season where they only won 49 games, which when you look at the amount of talent that they have on that team, and I don't care who's sitting out what games, I mean, there's no way they should have, you know, been in a position where they only won 49 games. It's, you know, they're going to beat the Pacers, even without Smart. I think the Pacers are the ideal first-round opponent for them. I've been saying this for a while now. They're a team that Stevens can point to try and coax and cajole more connectedness and cohesion out of his team and say, look at those guys, look at the way they play. Yet, Indiana doesn't really have enough individual talent or shot makers or shot creators to really threaten the Celtics. You know, it's a team that Brad can use to get their attention, but it's not a team that's an actual threat to them,
Chris,
without
Oladipo. If it goes more than five games, to me, it's a de facto loss.
Okay, I think that's extreme because Smart's not playing. I think the Celtics will win in six.
Why should Indiana win a game in Boston?
Why should they not win a game in Boston? They play extremely well together. The Celtics have been inconsistent all year long. They just lost one of their best defensive players. When I look at this matchup, see, the thing Indiana will do offensively, individually, and Bogdanovich is good, and he has some nights where he's really good, but he can't do it night after night. But what they'll do offensively, and they've done it in the two games against the Celtics. The second game, they got smoked because the Celtics pulled away in the second half. But Indiana is patient. They'll use the full 24 seconds. They'll make the extra pass and then the extra pass on top of the extra pass. And if there's one thing with the Celtics this year, they are not disciplined defensively, and they're not dialed in defensively. They will defend for 14 seconds out of 24, 15 out of 24, 16 out of 24. But at the end, you can get them, and you can get a shot. And I think that will allow Indiana to win a game in Boston.
Indiana should not win a game here.
I'm not.
They should have won the regular season game. If Thaddeus Young doesn't miss that dunk and Marcus Smart, who's not playing, doesn't hit a heave that he threw straight up in the air, they lose that game.
So, but look, my point back on Kyrie, it's not. I think they're going to beat Indiana too. He didn't care about seedings. He was a big reason, and the whole thing surrounding him was a big reason this team just didn't gel and they end up with 49 wins. If they don't win in the post, if they don't advance in the postseason, and seeding's a reason, home court's a reason, if they can't win in Milwaukee or can't win in Toronto, then that goes back on Kyrie. And I think this is all about him. It's all about, we're either going to be ripping him for the way he brought this team down in the regular season, or, and I'll be fair about it, if they win in the postseason, they win on the road, I'll say, you know what, you were right all along. The regular season was meaningless. It was just an exercise in blowing a lot of hot air, and you delivered when it mattered, and you were right.
Honestly,
he's sort of like, it's like a quarterback in football, right? He's going to get too much of the credit if they do well and too much of the blame if they do poorly. Certainly, to a degree, but I mean, his leadership certainly lacks something to be desired this year. There's no question about it. But see, where I disagree with you is you want to put the whole thing on him.
Yep.
What about the other guys? Like, what about the coach? How come he couldn't get the most out of this team with the amount of talent they have? What happened there?
I'll put him on the list.
You know, why were they not able to play on a consistent basis and string wins together and find an identity? Why were they not able to do that during an 82-game regular season?
I can't put
that all on one guy.
Okay, so I don't put it all on one guy, but here's
what... He also had basically a career year in a lot of categories. So, I mean, he did his part to a degree. Now, his leadership, I think, was poor. I'll give you that. But is that alone a reason for... Is his leadership the reason that Marcus Morris stopped shooting well down the second half of the season stopped doing anything other than shooting, stopped caring about anything other than shooting?
Chris, I'm not letting young guys off the list, but let me ask you this question. How many people on that team said the seeding doesn't matter?
Oh, you know, I agree with you guys on that, but it's a situation where I look at that team and I just think as a team, collectively, and I know Kyrie's the front guy, so you guys, you know, circle him. And that's what comes with it.
Don't you begin with the best players in that league?
That's what comes with it. That's what he signed up for, okay? But the reality is they all sort of took that tack once they realized that the regular season... Go back to what they said in the fall. Were they saying seeding doesn't matter, regular season doesn't matter? They were all talking about, we have a great opportunity, we're excited, it's going to be a great regular season. The moment they realized that they couldn't accomplish anything,
they wrote off
the regular season.
So now we have to let off the best player has to be let off the hook.
No, I'm not saying he has to be let off the hook, but you want to funnel it all to one guy. I'm not saying it's not all one guy.
Chris,
it's the whole team.
Up until this year,
they've underachieved.
They've been an excellent regular season team. I think all these players, young, old, and the coach has had an excellent regular season track record.
They were
record.
Excellent last year, and Kyrie was on the team. He played most of the year. He played 60 games.
Yes, and this year, they weren't. I don't know. To me, it feels like Kyrie was healthy all year. Kyrie was the common denominator.
I just said to you before you made that erroneous statement, he was on the team last year, and you said up until this year, they were a great regular season. See, this is people have like lost their minds. It's like, oh, this is Kyrie's first year on the team. No, he played last year. Makes it all the more frustrating. It's like, what the hell is up with this team? What is the deal? This guy was here last year, and it should have worked. But what about the coach playing Gordon Hayward over Tatum and Brown in the beginning of the year? I mean, Jackie McMullen wrote this when he really wasn't ready, and there were guys that were clearly resented the allotment of minutes.
So now we're going to blame the coach and not the best player. That's new.
Why is it?
That's new.
Again, typical of this show. Now it's a binary.
Whoa.
It can only be one person. It can't be multiple people.
No.
It's
don't say this show.
It's a completely binary choice.
I was on the young guys all year long. I'm not excluding the young guys.
No, but he's framing this now.
Yeah, but then that's him. That's
either
the show.
You know, either we blame Kyrie completely or we're letting him off the hook
completely. You play the cut from Chicago, please, in February? Now, you say I'm putting it all on Kyrie? I don't know. Maybe. Here, open your ears.
It's starting to get to the point where you're concerned that the struggle that you guys have had will leak into the playoffs?
No, I'll be fine.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm here.
He's putting it on himself. He's putting it on Kyrie. I'm not putting it on Kyrie. I didn't say that.
That's what a leader does.
He's putting it on him. So he does that, and I'm not allowed to say this is about
you can
Kyrie.
You can say whatever you want. It's your show. I'm just saying I don't really understand sort of the false the false choice that you're making here.
How's false? He just said it.
I'm not taking blame away from Kyrie. You just want to put it all on him.
He wants it all on him.
What number do you want from me? Do you want 80%, 85%? Like, we really don't disagree. It's just that you want to put it all on him.
He put it all on himself.
He's the leader of the team.
That's like, what I'm telling you.
What else is he going to say?
Fine.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Yes, he is the leader of the team.
The leadership has been bad.
He's the leadership of the team.
I think I said that a couple of times during this segment. I'm not disagreeing with you on
that.
There's
a win and a loss.
I'm not really disagreeing on much, except for you just want to put it all on.
Like, I do.
Why even put the other four guys in the court?
I think
Kyrie should play these teams by himself is what I think.
He agrees with you.
See, the thing is, if he wins, I give him the full tip of the cap.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay? So, but if they win, are you going to credit Stevens?
Yes. How much credit has Brad Stevens gotten the last couple of playoff runs? So now it's poor Brad Stevens who gets no credit?
No, I'm just asking you.
Of course Brad Stevens will get credit.
I'm not talking about the Green Teamers.
No, everybody will give him credit, including me. Brad Stevens will get credit. Yes. Of course he will.
I'm not giving credit.
He's gotten a ton of credit. Yes.
You'll start with Stevens.
start with Stevens? No, I'm not going to start with Stevens.
Where
just
are you
like
start?
Just like on the blame. I'm with you. I'm starting on the blame with Kyrie, but you want to put it 100% on
like
him.
It feels like you're trying to stave off the attack on Kyrie for some reason.
I'm not. How many times have I said during this segment the leadership was bad? His leadership was poor. And the team, you know, it's that like from the movie, Remember the Titans, right? You know, attitude reflects leadership. Absolutely. A big part of their attitude issues this year, his poor leadership. No question about it. I'm just saying to you that there are other people and other guys on this team that have to step up and deliver in the playoffs. He's not responsible for everything on the team and every guy. Like if Marcus Morris is not making shots and then isn't engaged defensively, something he loves to call out Jaylen Brown for. And speaking of guys who like to anoint themselves, was it not Marcus Morris who after the thing in Miami said, I'm one of the leaders on this team, anointing himself as a leader? Okay, so is Kyrie responsible for Marcus Morris if Marcus Morris doesn't play? Will you give Kyrie the credit if Marcus Morris plays well?
If they win?
If Terry Rozier has been crap all year long, plays well, the credit goes to Kyrie Irving, according to you.
Kyrie's
correct?
He's got the most to win and lose. He's number one on the list. Of course, there's other things to consider.
Yes.
But he's number one on the list.
But so he gets credit for Rozier, right? Under your thing?
No.
He doesn't. Okay. So Rozier's responsible for himself.
Chris, to be honest, you sort of lost me in that.
Okay.
To me, it begins and ends with Kyrie. He's not the only part of the story. That's sort of self-evident.
Okay.
But we all agree in that league. It is about that. It is about that best player, especially him. And so that's it. I mean, I'm willing to give him full credit if he comes through and the team comes through and they actually win.
So you know what the weird thing is, and we're having this discussion, is if you go back and look at his numbers for this year, like he's done his part on the court.
The numbers.
So what do you care about that? So I'm confused.
Him elevating the team.
Because he can do
his part. Him elevating the team.
Okay, so that goes back to what I just said. So if Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris play really well, then you're telling me you're going to give him the credit because he elevated those guys, correct?
Morris, maybe. Rozier, not quite as much.
Why not? You said he has to elevate the team. That's elevating the entire team.
But they're not on the floor at the same time. I mean, so it's...
Well, they will be now.
I mean, maybe. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out.
Gordon Hayward, you know, who's been really good down the stretch here and was very inconsistent at the beginning of the year, plays great in the playoffs, and Kyrie gets the credit,
Chris,
for that, correct?
As usual, I will call him as I see him, as opposed to trying to protect someone or bury someone.
I'm not trying to protect. I honestly don't even know. I'm just trying to understand where you stand. You,
Chris,
say
it's not your fault. You're trying to get an opinion out of him, and he's just trying to facilitate a discussion point here.
That's not exactly
I'm not
it
trying
either.
To, I'm just trying to understand.
I'm giving you a hard opinion.
Or he's just badgering you for the sake of badgering
you. That's what it feels like, yes.
I Jerry. Feel like I'm the one being badgered, thank you. I feel
well,
the. I
means
feel
I've done
I'm
my
being
job.
Victimized
I'm
here.
Just trying to understand your point. You're telling me it's all on Kyrie.
It's all about Kyrie.
But then you're basically saying he has to elevate the team. I'm like, okay, I understand what Felke's saying. But then if the other guys play well, which would mean he quote-unquote elevated the team, you're saying, well, let me see. I might give him the credit for that, or I might not. I'm going to call it on a case-by-case basis. So I don't get
it. Oh, isn't that funny? As opposed to serving an agenda or trying to cultivate a source or scrub someone's nuts, calling him as he see it on a case-by-case basis. Imagine that. That is a novel concept, huh? Just telling people what you see. That is... Boy, that now we've hit on something that is truly revolutionary.
Gaspard, situational.
To your thoughts right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
A lot of bullshit. A lot of just you know, up and downs that just could have been handled better from a professional standpoint, personal. And I'm talking about me personally. I'm not talking about our team. You know, and it's just... I had a lot of questions, a lot of just things that weren't being answered straight up about what it takes to be a great professional in this league. And I think that the frame of that is just outdated, you know, in terms of what you have to be every single day. And it's not that hard, you know what I mean? Like the media and all the stuff that comes with it. I think that it's an exciting part of that that you got to be aware of. But the real part is just, you know, literally what I used to wake up every single morning to do, you know, is to put a ball in the hoop and be really great at it.
Okay, another good quote from Kyrie, I think. Once again, need a little bit of translation there.
I have no idea what he said.
He's all over the place. Real quick, your thoughts on the Marcus Smart injury and how that impacts him.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly am, it's going to impact them because, again, as I said, their issue is on the defensive end a lot of times, not being connected, not communicating. I think he facilitates that. He's a glue guy on this team. He's one of the few guys on this team. I put him up there, Al Horford. Guys who can affect the game without either having the ball or putting the ball in the basket. And they don't have a lot of guys who can do that. And I think in the playoffs, you need that a little bit. This team, in particular, the way it's built, needs that. So I do think they'll miss him. But I think it's bigger the next series against Milwaukee than it is this series against Indiana.
They don't need him against Indiana. They don't. I'm sorry. I don't care who's missing in this series for the Celtics. They have home court. They're playing a crapbag Indiana team, Chris. It's a crapbag team. Well, what did Indiana finish since Oladipo went down? They were horrendous, for crying out loud. They lost 10 in a row on the road or something?
Yeah, they did lose 10 in a row on the road.
Oh, they're garbage. They're absolute garbage.
They did snap that streak.
If that series goes more than five, fake win. Fake win. It's a loss. I'm not joking. To me, it's a de facto loss.
You don't have to twist my arm. I'll go buy a brand new whiteboard.
See, Murray knows.
Yeah. But could Smart be the difference against Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the type of thing with the fact. So this is to your point. They talked about seeding doesn't matter. Well, when you have guys who are important to your team, guys who are sort of heart and hustle guys, the glue of your team, missing for a series like that, and the other team has home court, yeah, his absence could tip the balance, especially because, look, we hear so much in the NBA about positionless basketball, and that's on the offensive end. But from a standpoint of defense, Marcus Smart is a positionless basketball player. How many positions can he defend? He can defend 1 through 4.
That's right.
And so you get into a series with Milwaukee, that can make a big difference, all the guys he can defend. And suddenly you're taking that out, and now it's, you know, Shemmy's going to get his minutes no matter what because Brad loves him on Giannis. But now you're asking a lot of Shemmy Ojeleye, a lot more than you would be if Marcus Smart is in there.
Okay, there's some basketball thoughts. We'll take your calls, and I keep forgetting this giveaway. Jimmy, if I don't give this away this segment, you may take me out back and abuse me in any way you see fit.
Can I defer this to Gasper just loading you up with a wet sausage to the face?
Yes, we can do that. So don't let me forget this, all right? I have a $100 gift card to give away by the end of this segment, or I'm going to get violated by Gasper. George in the car, what do you got for me on the Celtics?
Hey, so this may be some wishful thinking, but I also don't think it's that crazy. Jaylen Brown, you know, he's been playing good lately. End of the season, what are your chances if he plays really good in the playoffs, you can get away with kind of robbing the Pelicans of AD? Because I feel like with the Lakers, Ball's a mess, injury-wise and play-wise. And Ingram has blood clots, for crying out loud. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe Danny Ainge could just rob AD from them just by giving up Brown and Horford or something like that.
So that's the question. I think there's a shot of them getting Anthony Davis without having to give up Tatum.
Yes. I do. I do think there's a shot at that. And I think that's obviously Danny's goal. And I think that, he's probably laid some of the groundwork for that. Some of it sort of depends who ends up being the general manager of the Pelicans. Danny Ferry's the interim. Does he get to stay on? Or is it somebody else? Is it somebody who has some sort of background connection, you know, like with the Celtics? Like, hypothetically, let's say Mike Zarin got that job. You know, there are a number of factors that go into this, but I think that's the goal for Danny is to, you know, as he normally has to do, decisively win the trade.
We all look at them beating out the Lakers. Let's say they can still beat out the Lakers without Tatum. How about third teams? Are we ignoring third teams? I mean, obviously, if the Knicks get Zion Williamson and they win the lottery, and Durant goes there, and now so like that.
Yeah, they're in play.
I mean, doesn't the number one overall pick supersede maybe Tatum or Brown? Whole thing?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, part of this, too, is, though, where does Davis want to go? What's interesting about the Celtics is the sense you get is they're willing to roll the dice and say, yeah, okay, you don't have to sign a long-term deal. Just come here. We'll figure it out. There might be other teams that are going to say, no, you have to sign. You know, we're not going to move an asset. Like, if you're the Knicks, would you move the number one pick in Zion Williamson for 1 year of AD?
No,
you're not doing that.
So, the Celtics can beat the Lakers with a lesser thing, but, you know, there's 29 other teams that you got to think about. Craig in Boston. Go ahead, Craig. Craig.
Hi. Hey. So I just wanted to, Felger, I agree with you. These playoffs are all on Kyrie. The whole season's been about Kyrie, and he's made it that way. And he's had everybody on eggshells, including Stevens, Ainge. Everybody's been doing what, you know, Kyrie wants. Nobody's had any balls to say anything to him. He's made the whole season a nightmare for the whole team, for the fans. I'm a diehard Green Teamer, and it's just been so annoying. And
Craig, if they win in the postseason, if they win on the road, they go to the finals, it kind of washes away, doesn't it?
100%.
So okay, that's let me just stop you. Craig, thank you for the call. He did his job there, because part of my analysis is sort of Kyrie in the court of public opinion. So I'm sort of reflecting what I think is a general fan feeling, too. And it's how
you always have the pulse of the Green Teamer, so I can't argue with you there. Go ahead.
It's how I feel, but I also think it's how it's going to play. It's how it's going to play. You know, if seeding does matter and they can't win on the road and they don't get to the finals, it's going to land on Kyrie. Fairly or unfairly, it's going to land on Kyrie. And if they advance and it turns out the regular season doesn't matter, then I think we all have to be fair, all of us who've been frustrated with Kyrie Irving, to then sit there and say, he was actually right. He was actually right. That regular season didn't matter. And the seedings didn't matter. He was so good and they're so good that they could win on the road. And so, like, those are the stakes in the court of public opinion. On the basketball stuff, maybe not as cut and dry. In the court of public opinion, I think it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, you know, there's probably some truth to that. I think what's sort of interesting when you look at it is I feel like they adopted that stance. Like, I don't think Kyrie actually believes that. I think they just adopted that stance as a measure to save face, because they knew the regular season was not going to be what it was supposed to be. So what else are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, man, tough one now. We don't have home court, and we're a four seed, so we're probably not going to do it. I mean, I think they're trying to talk themselves into it as much as anything else.
I'm worried that he does believe it.
Well, I mean, it's a good point, just real quick, Maz, because Kyrie did get all sorts of pissed off. I think it was after the Orlando game when he called Bron and he didn't get the shot. As part of that rant, he said, we can't be content to be the fourth. I mean, I know I'm not content to be the fourth or fifth. He actually did say that at one point. And then in the second half, when it looked like they weren't going anywhere, he said, screw the regular season. So, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, so good wishy-washy leadership. That's what you got. Like, change the facts to suit the argument. What he should have been saying all along is, no, home court matters. See, I find it, and again, if you want to pin it on the team and not on Kyrie as a team mentality, I find this whole idea that home court or seeding doesn't matter to be insulting. In that league, we're going to say seeding doesn't matter. If they had played I have news for the Celtics. If they had played the regular season that we all expected, not only should they have home court in the Eastern Conference, they could have had it in the whole league. Golden State only won 57 games.
Bucks had 60?
60 wins for the Bucks.
So, now, but again, if the Celtics take care of business, maybe they beat the Bucks.
Did they have 58 last year?
No, not that high. 52?
55, was it?
Was it that high? Well, whatever. They were in the 50s. Okay? So, I look at it, but what was their over-under? 57.5, 58?
Yeah, I want to say over-under 58.
If they play the way they're capable of, they could have had home court throughout the playoffs, including the finals. So, like, I refuse to let them off the hook for Marcus Smart's injury or anything else if they lose.
Celtics won 55 last year.
Wow, is that many?
55. And the overall, maybe the over-under was 58. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Okay, so, like, I look at that and say, so now, you know, Marcus Smart could tip the scales in the Milwaukee series. Uh-uh. Sorry, you're not getting off the hook. No way. No, you gave home court away. You're not getting Marcus Smart too.
Okay,
I'm not giving them the benefit of that doubt.
Patriots draft in 2 weeks. Gasper's thoughts on what the Patriots will do, what they should do, all that coming up after. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Thank you. I remembered. Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. No moist sausage today, Gasper.
We're both relieved.
We'll score a $100 gift card for the Under Armour brand house at the Pru. To get your last-minute running or watching gear, you can also spend Marathon Monday with Under Armour and watch the race from their viewing bays near the finish line.
The Under Armour store is so cool. You got to get those Brady pajamas. Those things are great.
I'm sure. I'm sure you've accessorized there many times, my friend. $100 gift card is yours. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. Good luck on that. Here's Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, NFL draft, first round, 2 weeks from last night. Second round, 2 weeks from today, Gasper. What should the Patriots do? What are they going to do?
In terms of what they should do, I think they should go offensive line, defensive line, which is the strength of this draft. I know it's not sexy, but, I mean, if that's what you're going to do with that first pick, I think that's where the depth is at, and you're at 32. If I were them, I like Will Grier, the quarterback from West Virginia, but I don't think that's somebody you want to overdraft. I think you're looking at using maybe one of your second-round picks or that early third-round pick they got from the Lions. I think if you pick him there, you're good.
So of all the college, let me just type it up. Yeah, all the college quarterbacks, you like him and why? And I'm not saying better than Kyler Murray.
No, but. Yeah. I mean, I'm not better than Kyler Murray. But what I like about him, he had time at Florida where he was in an offense that was not just like one of these Big 12 spread offenses, which is what he played in at West Virginia. Although as critical as I've been of those offenses, I have to say, like, I look at the way Baker Mayfield played last year. I liked Mahomes coming out. But my question mark was, you know, I like this guy a lot, but geez, that offense I don't like. Those guys have translated to the league. So like, that's a knock that I have, but even I have to admit, like, you sort of have to wipe that one away. And then also, you know, what I heard from somebody is that he was a guy that was given a lot of liberty at West Virginia to change plays. The coaching staff really trusted him. He was dialed in mentally. And I think from a physical standpoint, he has some similarities to Garoppolo. Maz? Some similar you should be excited about.
Well, you know, Jimmy's kind of, he's one of a kind, Chris, but go ahead.
So
he's made out of glass?
I thought he was bigger.
He is bigger, but I think there's some similarities in terms of, like, athleticism. The release isn't quite as quick, but he can make some plays with his legs. You know, forget what the 40 time was. He can make some plays with his legs and run around a little bit, and he gets it out pretty quick. Not as quick as Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy has a really quick release.
Not many do, Chris.
But
he's nowhere near as handsome. But keep going.
But yeah. So I like Grier. I think he checks a lot of boxes for the Patriots.
Okay, so he's a second or third round consideration. That's what they should do. What will they do?
What will they do? I mean, I think they're going to trade back. I know they certainly have the ammunition to move up if they want to do that. And maybe this is the year that Bill finally caves and says, you know what, we're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round, but I think that's a mistake. I think this draft from a wide receiver standpoint is one of those drafts where you're going to look back and say, oh, the best receiver that came out of this draft, you know, sort of like an Antonio Brown thing, that guy went in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. Because the wide receivers that I'm seeing, you know, DK Metcalf, I do like AJ Brown.
But perfect for the Patriots.
AJ Brown.
Well, no, I'm just saying
mid to late round.
Yeah, drafting guys in the middle of the draft. They love drafting guys.
I agree with you on that, but it would be so weird. They have such a need there that, you know, maybe they'll buck the trend and this will be the year that they take one in the first round. I feel like it shouldn't be because I don't think they're a clear first round. I don't think there's a real delineation between a lot of the guys that could be up around the first round and guys that could go in the third or fourth round. So like guys, I like Kelvin Harmon. I like Dylan Mitchell from Oregon. You know, those are probably mid-round guys. So, you know, Hunter Renfro. So I think you can find some
guys in later rounds
that maybe can fill some of the need there. But the reality is, look, they're going to have to do something from my belief is they're going to have to do something in terms of proven NFL wide receiver. Like, it can't be just drafting kids. They need to draft wide receivers, but they also need to go out and find some proven wide receivers. And boy, doesn't it really say something about how far Chris Hogan fell? And how far he was outside the Brady circle of trust that he just languished out there. They have this dire need at this position, and they just let him go to Carolina on a one-year deal.
Yes. And I'm curious. So they didn't like him. They didn't want him back. I'm curious, did they have a plan? It sort of feels like they're flying by the seat of their pants at the receiver spot, especially when I read this morning they were in on Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
So it sort of feels like they were on the beach, they were just screwing around, and then all of a sudden they wake up, and Gronkowski's gone. And everyone left in free agency, and now they're sitting there going, "Ow, we don't have anybody." And now they're throwing crap at Austin Seferian Jenkins. You know, like, was that the master plan, or is that just what was left? And Sterling Shepard, was that the idea? Was that the target? They really liked him going in, or was that just, uh-oh, now who's left? We might have a crack at this guy, or we might have a crack at that guy, and it feels like...
Well, that happened with Adam Humphries already.
They got beaten to the punch,
Yeah,
Mark.
They've whiffed on a couple of guys. They've whiffed quite a bit.
So they did. They got beaten to the punch.
You add it all up, it's like, were you guys ready for this?
I was on a bit of a bender.
It does feel like the tail's wagging the dog there, that they weren't exactly out in front of this.
No, really. Again, you look all the way across all the names they've been connected to one way or the other. I think they helped throw Antonio Brown on the list, too. Like, I recognize that they recognize they had a clear need, but it felt like they drew a line and said, nope, we're not going to go beyond that for Adam Humphries. And we're not going to go beyond that for, you know, well, Sterling Shepard's a trade.
I mean, Humphries at the end, Matt, sorry to interrupt you, but the understanding is that
they offered more.
They offered more, but it's the way they did it. They dilly-dallied. They waited too long.
Yeah, because
they got cute, you know, that you have to, you know, so you know this, Felgi, you know how they are. A lot of times it's not about the player, it's about the deal.
Of course.
Got to like the deal. And so, they have to like the deal more than the player sometimes.
No, it's all about the deal with them, almost entirely about the deal.
How about Bill's comment this week? Did you hear his press conference during the week about
I was down there for it.
How hard it is to evaluate college players. Yeah. You know, your thoughts on that comment? Is that a tell in some way? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a tacit admission that they've struggled to project guys in because what they ask their receivers to do is so different in terms of being on the same page with Brady and being able to really read defenses. A lot of these college systems now, we're just talking about the Big 12, and you know me. I mean, I love college football. I love it more than the pros, but I mean, a lot of this stuff.
You like college football more than the NFL?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
Yes, every day, all day.
Huh. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
Cool.
But
wow, you just dropped in my estimation.
Yeah, that's okay.
Go ahead.
That's all right. That's what most people.
He stays in on like weekend nights to watch Florida State.
I watched the Florida State spring game that beautiful Saturday like last week. I watched 4 hours of that from beginning to end.
Wow.
But I will say, like, you know, it's everything's kind of predetermined for these receivers. And also the other thing is not to get like, you know, technical. But
you say predetermined at the college ranks, there's no option routes. They're just...
Not really. I mean, or there is an option, but it's like this or that. And it's like so basic. And it's just completely different. Basically, bottom line, at the college level, the receivers don't have to read defenses. It's done for them. And I've said this to you guys before on this show. You see, like, they go to the line of scrimmage. Everybody looks over the sideline.
Someone's holding the side of a duck or something.
Yeah, no, there's a banana, a picture of Felger, and, like, you know, some M&Ms. And everybody knows what the play is off of that. Like, that's exactly what it is. Like, ball gag Felger, a banana, and some M&Ms. And they all know what the play call is off of that. There's, like, not a lot of thinking. And if there's one thing about the Patriots we know, they're the thinking man's team.
Okay.
I think that's been a problem.
But they need young wide receivers, so what are you going to do? You got to...
Well, can I say something else? You'll eat this up.
It's a cop-out. That Belichick stance is a cop-out, but go ahead.
I'll go against my guy here, but somebody in that locker room told me last year, like, look around here. Do you see a lot of young guys at tight end and receiver? They're like, that's not by design. Tom, not a lot of patience.
Okay.
So I'll admit it. Not a lot of patience.
There. And I think that's apparent, you know? I think that's apparent, but they still... You know, what are you going to do? You got. There's a future here. You still have to have young players at the position, so they got to, you know, hold their breath, bite their tongue, and just get some young guys in here and work with them.
But something else, Bill also said there because he was asked a question. I can't remember who asked it, but basically he admitted it's like, you know, well, it's a lot easier to project that position. He said any position, but that position when you've seen it in the NFL. It's a lot easier for them to sort of say, okay, we can project this NFL, even Philip Dorsett, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't do anything in Indy. But even for them, like, they feel more comfortable saying, this guy who flamed out in Indy and doesn't look that good, we're more comfortable projecting that guy than some college stud. And I always say this, you know, Deion Branch and Givens, great picks, but that was eons ago. Like, since that time, the best wide receiver that they brought through the draft was a guy who didn't play a snap of wide receiver in college. They're better off taking some guy who's never played there than guys who played there because they can't project it.
No, and the guys from other organizations, I mean, you know, Joey Galloway, Ocho Cinco, Donald Hayes, they've all done well here too. I mean, those guys, they've come in and absolutely lit it up, those guys.
Our long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take your calls, say goodbye to Gasper, and not take any commercials, so stick around.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Yeah, well, it's the same battle at every position. I mean, you're looking down the same road, really. You know, I'd say the issue in college football is there's not the same passing game in college football as there's in the NFL, period. So it's hard to evaluate the receivers. It's hard to evaluate the quarterback. It's hard to evaluate the offensive linemen. It's harder to evaluate the pass rushers. And it's harder to evaluate the coverage players. So, but, you know, we're all looking at the same film. So, you know, all the teams in the league are, you know, we all see the same games. The college passing game is very different from the professional passing game. So when you're looking at it, you're looking at a lot of it's really projecting all those positions a little bit differently. To a certain degree, it's different in the running game too, but probably less difference in the running game than in the passing game, in my opinion.
All right, it was that Belichick cut we were talking about. What does that mean? What does that mean for the draft in 2 weeks? Meanwhile, there's been some NBA news this afternoon that relates to the Celtics. Well, you may not have to wait until May for the porking of the ping pong balls, Jimmy. What's going on today?
So there are multiple ties in the NBA standings this year, and all four of these ties affect where the Celtics could be drafting this year. And so far, what they've been porked on three of the four, with a fourth ping pong lottery to be done. So essentially, the Celtics and the Thunder had the same record. So they put six ping pong balls in, three with the Celtics, three with the Thunder, and whichever one pops up gets the pick ahead. So the Celtics are ending up picking 22 instead of 21 because they lost the ping pong balls to the Thunder.
Got it.
That's the first porking. The second porking came a three-way porking. The Clippers, Spurs, and Pacers all had the same record. The Celtics could have picked as high as 18. They did not get that. They did not get 19. They will be picking at number 20 in this year's NBA draft. That's the second porking.
It gets worse.
The third porking is with the Kings, Heat, and Hornets, who are also in a three-way ping pong tie. And the Celtics could have picked as high as 12. Nope, didn't happen. 13th, nope. They are picking 14th with that Sacramento Kings pick, and we're in the process right now of watching the three-way tie between the Grizzlies, Pelicans, and Dallas Mavericks.
And this is the most important one.
Right.
Yeah, this is the one, like, they don't want to win this one.
They want the porking. In other words, well,
they want to get porked on this one. They want this pick to be, you know,
in the top eight.
This is the one they've been holding out for.
Yeah, this is the one that they want in the top eight because they don't get it if it's in the top
eight.
They
want Memphis to win, so they're in the top eight, and then it doesn't convey this year. It conveys next year or the year after when it's unprotected.
Right. Ultimately, they want this pick to convey in 2021 because it'll be unprotected.
New Orleans came up first.
So the Celts got porked. They're getting the Memphis pick? Or no, they have one more to go?
Grizzlies have the number two ping pong. So I think that means that they're the eighth pick. So Memphis will keep it. So the Celtics got porked on three out of the four. But I think the Memphis pick stays with Memphis because the Celtics will get it next year.
Yeah, it's top eight protected. If the Celtics get the pick, it's nine or down in the draft. And then the next year it's top six protected. So it would be seven or down, and then 2021, it's unprotected.
So as soon as we firm this up, just let me know.
But the thing he was saying on this is Sacramento, you know, losing that one, where that sort of hurts. I mean, that whole pick has been bad this year, but now Sacramento is 14. So think about that. How many teams make the playoffs? 16.
Yes.
That is the last lottery pick. It's the last pick of the lottery. So you have the worst odds of doing anything. Of like, that pick's just going to be a mid first round pick, and what is a crappy draft? I'm sorry. Like, once you get beyond Zion and Ja Morant and some of these other guys, this is a crappy draft. This is not a deep draft.
Yeah, that was the second pick from the Jason Tatum deal.
It's the poor.
That Sacramento pick is the second pick from the Jason Tatum deal. They get absolutely piped on it.
So it's official. The Grizzlies will slot into the number eight pick in the draft, and the Celtics do not lose that tiebreaker.
So that's good.
So next year, the Celtics will have the Grizzlies pick if it falls within the parameters.
Got it.
But now you have to, like, if some team beyond the Grizzlies moves up into the top four, then it bounces down to nine.
Right.
So you still have May 14th to go.
There's another porking.
Seeing this, you know, I think on Twitter here, Danger Card tweeting something. The Celtics have a 42.5% chance of receiving this Memphis pick, which is way too high.
That is too high.
Way too high. You do not want this pick this year. This is not the year to have, forget the Anthony Davis thing, just if you have those picks. This is not the draft to have four first round picks in, and they're all, you know,
the draft
nine
sucks.
Or below. It's very top heavy after Zion and John Moran and some guys at the top, RJ Barrett. I don't think this is a very deep draft.
Oh boy, I'm smelling Ante Zizic again in the draft. Another
J.R. Giddens.
34.1% of being slotted the number nine pick for the Celtics.
Okay, so again, these are just ping pong balls for the ultimate porkings. These aren't final draft positions.
These are essentially coin toss ping pong balls.
This is pre-porking. This is like
Foreplay.
Foreplay porking. Foreplay porking. Yeah, this is the foreplay before the ultimate porking, which is coming up in May, right? Meanwhile, you said a big thing with Anthony Davis and the Hornets and the Pelicans.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be who their GM is.
Yeah.
Is there something on that?
Woj was just saying that there's an agreement between the Pelicans and David Griffin, who was the guy with the Cavaliers, for him to take over that franchise.
Is that good or bad for the Celtics?
In my opinion, I think it would be bad. I think you can swindle Danny Ferry. I think it might be a little harder with David Griffin.
Because Griffin actually knows what he's doing, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left with you. Give me a Red Sox thought before you get out of here.
Yeah, so just real quick, on the Chris Sale thing, I had this thought the other day, and this is sort of 30,000-foot big picture.
Chris Sale thing being pushed back a day or something?
No,
else?
Just overall, the contract and everything. And Maz, tell me if you agree with me on this one, but going back to John Henry in spring training saying about John Lester and that, you know, how they've made a mistake with 30-year-old pitchers, it sort of reminded me of the Jose Abreu thing when they whiffed on him and he went to the White Sox. And then who was the next big Cuban player?
Ruzne Castillo.
And they spent $72 million on Ruzne Castillo.
Yes.
I think they're sort of predisposed to this, to overcompensate for a mistake. Because would you say that John Lester and Chris Sale, although they're both lefties, are sort of similar pitchers from a body type standpoint?
No, not even close.
From a betting on their durability standpoint?
No, Lester's durable. Again, I mean, look at him. As I say it, I joke about this all the time, Chris. Take a good look at a pitcher's ass. Take a good look at it. Lester's got a huge ass. Huge. Usually a good sign of a durable guy. Like the power guys all have big asses. I mean, you don't want them totally fat either, but you get the idea. Sale, popsicle sticks. He's built on popsicle sticks. So, I mean, there's a chance they overreached. There's a chance they overreached and reacted to the whole Lester mistake and said, we're going to do it. The other difference is, what option did they have? Who do they have coming through the system?
Could they have played it out, though? I mean, could they have said, let's see a month and a half and just make sure that you're... I just sort of think, like, you know, they're sort of predisposed to this, and it might be sort of reminiscent of that Ruzne Castillo thing where because they made a mistake, they sort of overcorrect. You know, it's human nature, right? You make a mistake, you don't want to make that mistake again. And so, you know, when Ruzne Castillo was out, they're like, we're not going to be outbid for Ruzne Castillo. With Sale, they're saying, we had a lefty ace who was lights out and we knew could pitch in Boston and wanted to stay here and was into the whole Boston baseball experience. And we let that guy go. We're not going to let that happen again, except for it's a different scenario because Lester, there was never a durability question about him. Sale, his entire career, whether it's Chicago or here, the question is, can this guy get to the finish line every season?
So the one interesting thing is that Henry said we blew the Lester negotiation.
Yes, they're totally chasing.
Right. No, but I think he means, you know, we wanted Lester, but we negotiated him properly, which to me was dumping it on Lucchino's head. Because you remember Larry's first offer was 4 and 70.
But still, file under, we're not making the same mistake.
Okay, so I agree. Yeah, I think that I'm worried about that. I would have waited on Sale. There's no two ways. I would have waited.
Okay, so there's some baseball stuff. There's some Celtics stuff. There's some Patriots stuff. We'll get to it in the final hour with resetting our thoughts on that complete crap show with the Boston Bruins last night. Is there a Gasper and Murray extravaganza tomorrow?
Yes, but no Murray. It's Gasper and Jones tomorrow.
I'm with the Dark Knight. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be playing the Robin to Jones's Dark Knight.
Okay, so good luck with that.
Be fun.
Jones and Gasper tomorrow at 11 with the Celtics Hour at noon. Thanks for coming by, Gasper.
Good to see you guys.
No commercials, just an update, and we are right back with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.